Can a child be a cat? That is part of what we're discussing today. Because this week, a story broke in the press about a debate that took place in a British classroom. And this debate was recorded by one of the students in the classroom, and it's now been listened to, I assume, by a couple million people. The school's in East Sussex, and basically some of the girls in the class were told off by a teacher for questioning whether someone can identify as a cat. Now, it's unclear from the recording whether there is somebody in that class that identifies as a cat, but clearly they're discussing this question of whether someone can identify as a cat. And one of the girls says, if they want to identify as a cat, then they are genuinely unwell. And the teacher criticizes these girls. And the teacher says, where did you get this idea from that there are only two genders? And by the end of the debate, the teacher says to these girls, if you don't like it, you need to go to a different school. If you don't like these ideas that the teacher's pushing about gender identity, then she says these girls need to go to a different school. And this week, there was also an article in the Daily Telegraph that gives other examples of children identifying as animals. Now, we don't know how widespread this is. Okay, as far as I'm aware, there haven't been studies done yet. But an acquaintance of mine, Professor Eric Kaufman, has done studies on the presence of gender theory more generally in schools in the UK, and there's been studies done in America as well. And Eric's studies show that indeed a lot of children are being taught gender theory. Now, what's the appeal in this for children? Why might some children be considering even the prospect of identifying as a cat? You see, these girls were pushing back against the idea from someone else in the classroom that someone might want to identify as cat. Why would they even be considering this? Which obviously links into this wider question of boys identifying as girls and girls identifying as boys, and the debate around children medically transitioning from from man to woman and a woman to a man, boy to girl, girl to boy. Well, what's the appeal for children? And I think clearly young people, they yearn for a sense of identity. When I was young, the big thing was the goths, okay? Goths were these people who would put white, like, makeup on their face and loads of black mascara, whatever you call it, around their eyes. They dress in black. And in Northern Ireland, they gather around City Hall in Belfast on Saturday nights. It was quite scary if you were to walk past City Hall on Saturday night because all these people dressed in black with paint on their face. But loads of people did it, and there was a sense of belonging there, enormous sense of belonging. And I'm aware that there are influencers online on social media telling young people that if they transition, or if they identify as something that they weren't born as, whether that's a non-human animal or whether it's a boy sort of identifying as a girl or vice versa, there are people saying that this is the way to deal with their problems and get a sense of belonging, entering into a new family. Now, can a school child be a cat? Of course not. Okay, of course not. These school kids were discussing this question, and the answer is obvious. No. I'm with the girls pushing back in this recording who are saying, no, you can't do that. And that's obvious. Seems obvious. And it's a sign of the times that I even raised that question, and indeed that it was debated on TV this week. But what's behind all this? What are the ideas behind people wanting to identify as something else from what they were born as? And in my view, this is my truth taken to an extreme. My truth taken to an extreme. It's only in the last 10 years, I think, that I've heard people talking about my truth. In philosophy, we talk about distinction between objective versus subjective. So something is objectively true if it's true irrespective of what I think or feel about it. So I'd say Rishi Sunak is the Prime Minister here in the UK. That's true irrespective of whether I want it to be or not, what I think about it. Whereas if I take the statement, rugby is a better game than football, that is subjective because the truth of that statement depends upon the thoughts and feelings of the person saying it. That is me. Now, some things are subjective. Okay, this claim that rugby's a better game than football is clearly subjective. But I think increasingly we're projecting our subjective sense of the world onto reality. Okay, that's what's going on in wider society. Increasingly, my truth is trumping the truth. What I feel about the world, about reality, is becoming more important than what reality is actually like. And this finds its roots, at least in part, in postmodernism, which is a really complex philosophical movement. And there was a book written about it a few years ago called Cynical Theories, subtitle How Universities Made Everything About Race, Gender and Identity and Why This Harms Everyone, by Helen Pluckrose and James Lindsay. And they have a chapter on postmodernism, and they talk about the postmodern knowledge principle, which involves radical skepticism as to whether objective knowledge or truth is obtainable. Okay, so say these objective claims, like there's a table in front of me. That's an objective claim. The postmodern knowledge principle says we should be skeptical about claims to objective truth. We should be skeptical about what we know. And they talk about the correspondence theory of truth. The correspondence theory of truth states that a statement is true if it corresponds to how things are in reality. So if I say there's a table in front of me, and there is indeed a table in front of me, then my statement is true. Okay, the statement matches reality. But for postmodernism, there is a rejection of the correspondence theory of truth. Okay, the emphasis is not upon does what I'm saying match on to how the real world is. It's a move away from that. And there's much more of an emphasis put on our interpretation of the world. Now, of course, there are many ways to interpret our experience. Okay, whether a table in front of me is quite an obvious, straightforward example, but many of the experiences we have in life are open to various interpretations. That's absolutely correct. But that doesn't mean that one interpretation isn't better than another interpretation. Okay? So if we think of the interpretation of the world that says a school child can be a cat, I think that interpretation of the world is wrong. Okay? It's not possible. So I do think that there are elements of truth in postmodernism, and it's a complex theory, and you know, you don't want to dismiss it completely out of hand. It'd be good to engage with it and think about aspects of it and learn from aspects of it. But ultimately, there are going to be clashes between postmodernism and the Christian worldview. Okay, because ultimately, although it is an interesting question to engage with when we think about subjective versus objective, ultimately, I think there are truths about the world that are independent of me thinking and feeling them. And I cannot simply say I'm a cat and that therefore be true. So we're going to be investigating this sort of stuff on the channel, postmodernism and other stuff that's going on in the culture, because creed and culture trying to engage Christian theology and thinking with what's going on in wider culture. So do stay tuned. Do like, subscribe, follow. and we'll see you very soon. Take care.